So we need to talk a lot about Joe Flacco. Joining us now, Stephen A. Smith, one of the hardest working men in our business. And Stephen A., I got to tell you, first of all, you deserved a medal for your work with Skip Bayless on Labor Day. I was watching some of that, and I want to ask you, you guys were going over the AFC North, and Skip gave his opinion, and you said, I'm just paraphrasing, you'd like to pick the Ravens, but you don't know if you can trust Joe Flacco.
I've always felt that way. I feel that way about Joe Flacco. I always have. I know that he's a good quarterback. I know that he's talented. I know he's not a scrub by any stretch of the imagination. It's just that I always believed him to be the missing link. When you look at the Ravens, you know, their intimidation, their fearsome defense, you know, some of the athletes that they've had on their squad, they've always been able to offset some of their deficiencies in some way, because you've got one of the greatest motivators in the history of the sport, as far as I'm concerned, in Ray Lewis, one of the best safeties in Ed Reed. You see these guys, Suggs, and you just know that somehow, some way, they're ready to go to war, figuratively speaking, of course, on every given Sunday. But the reality is that when it ultimately comes down to Joe Flacco, he reminds me to some degree of an Eli Manning, even though Eli Manning's got a Super Bowl ring. You know, that aw shucks personality.
Yeah.
There's that little something that's lacking in terms of the fire, the fervor, you know, the motivation. I mean, just that extra oomph that you sense the coach has, that you know Ray Lewis and the rest of the boys have. He's missing that. And I know that T.J. Houshmandzadeh is the one that dropped that 28-29-yard pass that basically ended the playoffs for them last year. But Flacco made mistakes leading up to that, put that defense in a bad situation, put that team in a bad situation. He's not a scrub. I respect him. But I just believe he's the guy that holds them back from getting over the hump. I just truly believe that.
Stephen A., that's a good comparison with Eli, because they act exactly the same, handling the media and doing all those type things, and play personality on the field. I totally agree with you. The thing that's interesting is Ozzie came out at the beginning of this year and said that Joe is going to be more involved in the offense. We're going to give him more.
Joe's offense.
It's going to be Joe's offense. He's going to be able to. Stephen, how about this? They've never had audibles before. How about that? They've never had audibles before.
Let me say this to you. How many years has Flacco been in the league?
Three. This is his fourth.
You know, to me, that's inexcusable. If he was in the league and he was never playing, and then all of a sudden he was thrusted into that position, and, you know, last year was an adjustment year, and then this year, you know, things are going to change, that would be different. This guy has been captaining the ship for a while now. It should have happened earlier, as far as I'm concerned. And far be it for me to question Harbaugh and Ozzie Newsome. I mean, I respect the heck out of those guys. I truly do. It's just that when, you know, I look at it this way, guys. This is about the sport of football. When I think about Ray Lewis, I think about, you know, Dick Butkus. I think about Jack Lambert. I think about, you know, those Under Armour commercials and stuff like that. I think about that extra fire in your belly. It's not just about your skill set, and it's not just about your ability. It's about something extra. You know, I'm a slim dude, you know what I mean? And I'm not in the greatest shape in the world. But I sit there and I get around Ray Lewis, so I listen to him talk, and the first thing I want to do is get in the gym and better myself. You know, and I don't even play in the National Football League. The guy is just inspirational, and you can see the contagious effect that it has, even with a guy like Ray Rice. I remember, I think it was a Monday Night Football game, and Ray Rice was balling, and you saw him and Ray Lewis standing there together, and Ray Lewis put his arm around this guy and talked about what this kid meant to this team, because he comes out of Rutgers. He's got that little extra something. It's not just his running ability. It's not just his skills. It's not just his understanding. It's just that little, I call it the dog in you, D-A-W-G, the dog in you, something extra that comes out that lets you know that you belong, where the hardcore cats on your squad can gravitate to you because they get that you get where they're coming from and what they're all about. They hear Woodley from the Pittsburgh Steelers or anybody else talking smack. They're ready to fight. They're like, let's bring it on. Let's go at it. Whereas Joe Flacco just goes in and says, I have a job to do. Let me go out there and do it. It's an entirely different mentality, and it's what's missing and you need your quarterback on this particular team to have that kind of attitude to get you over the hump when you got Rex Ryan motivating those boys in New York, when you got Bill Belichick and Tom Brady being who they are and what they are in, you know, in New England, even though Baltimore kicked their butts a couple of years ago in the first round of the playoffs, when you've got Phillip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers coming because they've been starving, and North Turner seems to just be a coordinator and not a head coach. You can't get him over the hump, but you got a quarterback in Phillip Rivers that's got that dog in him. Those kind of things exist in the AFC, and of course Big Ben and those boys in Pittsburgh. You've got to bring a little something extra. I think the defense gets it. I think the running game gets it. I think the coaches get it. I don't think the quarterback gets it, and that's my problem with Baltimore.
Hey, Stephen A., how about this? I got it. The game here against the Steelers on Sunday, you know, where the introduction, they usually have Ray Lewis do that dance. How about if Joe Flacco comes out to tell him to do that dance?
Well, no. I'm not gonna fall him on that, Benny, because I don't think he's got that rhythm. I don't think he could do what Ray Lewis could do. That's the problem with that. If he could, then I'd say, yeah. But you know what? Listen, we all brothers, but at the same time, let's face it, Joe Flacco probably can't pull that off.
Hey, Stephen A., in the game this week, I think as we speak today, the Steelers are a better football team today than the Ravens are. The Ravens have more questions. What do you think about it? The offensive line has got to be a huge question for the Ravens. They got young secondary. What do you see in the game this weekend?
Well, I definitely think that the Steelers are a better team, but the point that I'm trying to make to you is that we've just finished talking about that extra dog in you, and what I mean by that is that when it comes to the Steelers and the Ravens, it really doesn't matter who's better, because you've got, I mean, it's like it's enemy lines are drawn in the sand. You're on that side, we're on this side, and we're coming at you. And that little something extra comes out, and it's usually enough to propel you in a game or two during the regular season. The playoffs is usually when the better team wins. But during the regular season, it really doesn't matter, because the rivalry is so fierce and it's so intense. Whoever comes out with that level of motivation ready to handle their business usually is the one that ends up getting it done from time to time. You just need your quarterback to be one of those guys. He needs to be in the muck, in the grind. That's what he needs to be doing. And we know he can throw the football. We know that he's a decent quarterback. We know that his upside is even greater. But you would think that considering the squad that he's playing for, with the individuals that he's playing with, that there would be a little extra something inside of him instead of him resembling Eli Manning, who resembles Gomer Pyle, for crying out loud. You don't need that.
Yeah.
This is football. You need that little something extra, and Flacco hasn't shown it yet.
Hey, Stephen A., what other game are you looking forward to seeing? Well, we start tonight. What game are you looking forward to seeing this weekend?
No, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Green Bay and New Orleans
yes.
tonight. There's no doubt about that, because I think Green Bay's the team to beat. I think Aaron Rodgers has emerged as one of the top three quarterbacks in the game. I think he's just big time. And he's a Super Bowl champion. He's got that proverbial monkey off his back now that, you know, he can eradicate those memories of Brett Favre, you know, the most selfish player in the NFL over the last half decade as far as I'm concerned. And now he can get back there, and now Rodgers can just ball. And going up against Drew Brees, and everybody's been making so much noise about how well-prepared New Orleans is, because during the lockout he was working out guys and all of that stuff. We'll find out. That's one game. The other game is the New York Jets versus the Dallas Cowboys. I'm very interested in seeing that because
blowout.
New York Jets,
blowout, Stephen A.
Excuse me?
Blowout, I think. They don't match up. The Cowboys do not match up at all with the Jets, in my opinion.
Well, listen, I look at the Cowboys. First of all, Romo was out the last 10 games of the season.
Right.
Still got Witten. You got Dez Bryant. You got Miles Austin. They finally decided that maybe they're going to give Felix Jones the ball. I think that's going to help.
But who's going to block? They don't have any blockers. They lost their starting tackle.
Their offensive line is suspect.
Yes.
But the weakness with the New York Jets is their defensive front. And that's the thing. Their secondary, you know, is big time. There's no doubt about
right.
that, especially with the corners. They've got some weakness in the slot with this guy Kyle Wilson. He could be exposed. We'll
yes.
see what happens. But ultimately, I think that the Cowboys are flying under the radar, and they can catch the Jets napping. Particularly, I don't think it's going to happen on 9/11, on the anniversary of 9/11 at the new MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. But I will say that the question mark for the New York Jets to me this year is Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
We're going to find out whether or not Mark Sanchez was the problem. Even though he's been decent his first 2 years in the league, obviously, and winning four road playoff games, the bottom line is he could be better. We're going to see whether it's been him or whether it's been Brian Schottenheimer holding him back as the offensive coordinator. So we're going to find out some things, and I think that, you know, week one we're going to learn a little bit about these New York Jets because they should be able to take advantage of the Cowboys, especially with Terrence Newsome expected to be out and some of the problems they've been having in their secondary. You're the New York Jets. You're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. You're on your home turf on the anniversary of 9/11 for the season opener against a team that went 6-10 last year. You should be able to take advantage of some of that if you're Mark Sanchez. I'm looking forward to seeing what he'll do.
Yeah, me too, because if they play Marty ball, then it's on Schottenheimer. They need to play aggressive. They need to do what they did in the playoffs, in my opinion, because they won because of Mark Sanchez in the playoffs. He was the best player on the field for the Jets in the playoffs. Prior to that, they were playing Marty ball, and he was struggling, and Rex was threatening to bench him. Once they became an aggressive and let Mark Sanchez do what he could do, they became a good football team. If they do that this year, whereas in the Giants preseason game, they went back to Marty ball, conservative, punt, run, run, pass, punt. That's all they did. So I agree totally with you.
I think you got to take this into consideration. You know, Rex Ryan is all about the ground and pound, and he thinks that Sean Green is the number one option. That's another thing that I'm interested in seeing, because LT would just be the third down specialist, basically a pass catch out of the backfield. I think that to some degree Rex does that to preserve his defense as much as possible because he wants to sit there and let his defense set the stage. But we're going to find out about Rex Ryan as well, because I think that, again, you've got to let Mark Sanchez go. I don't know if I believe all of that that you believed about Mark Sanchez. I need to see more. I need to see a guy that knows that the responsibilities are on his shoulders and he's not relying on a running game. The running game is relying on him to step back in the pocket and wing that ball around the field. Let's see what he can do and take the conservative approach and throw it out the window. That's what I'm interested in seeing from the New York Jets on the part of Schottenheimer and Rex Ryan.
Ken Wyman, Vinny Serrato, talking with ESPN's Stephen A. Smith here on 105.7 The Fan. Stephen A., how excited are you to see the Dream Team get started?
I don't consider there to be a Dream Team, regardless of what Vince Young said. I think Vince Young opened his mouth prematurely. I think that's put a lot of pressure on the Philadelphia Eagles, but they're going to have to produce. And everybody keeps talking about Michael Vick and Nnamdi Asamoah and Babin and all of these boys that they acquired, and that's great. And, you know, the defense is going to be big time, no doubt. They're going to blitz all day, every day. That's just how they did it. They did it when the late, great defensive coordinator Jimmy Johnson was running the show. They're going to do it now. But I got to tell you, there's two things to me that stand out in my mind when I think about the Philadelphia Eagles. You got to re-sign. I'm not going to say re-sign, but restructure the deal and sign up DeSean Jackson. You can't sit there and take care of 10 players and you get 10 players in camp and you take care of Michael Vick and give him $100 million with a $40 million guarantee. But one of the more electrifying players in this game is DeSean Jackson. You just completely ignore and don't give him his money. As light as he is in the behind, this guy walks around. Don't tell me he's even 170 pounds. And yet this guy does what he does. He's a game changer. There's no doubt about it. With speedster, punt return, kick returns, and at wide receiver in terms of the deep threat. And you're going to sit around and pay this guy $650,000? I mean, come on. It's just ridiculous. You got to pay him some money. The other thing that I keep my eyes on is Andy Reid. I love Andy Reid. Good guy. Damn good coach. You've been coaching the NFL for a decade. You still don't have a ring. Enough already. At some point in time, you've got to be able to get over the hump. I appreciate all the years he had the Philadelphia Eagles highly competitive. And I root for the man because I believe he's a good man. But I got to tell you, he's got to get it done. You can't be in the playoffs, you know, that often and not get it done. You just got to be able to get it done, guys.
Hey, Stephen A., I agree totally with DeSean, but here's the thing that it tells me. The reason he went in the second round because of the off-the-field issues that he had coming out of Cal. He had a ton of them, all right? And they are scared to death to give him a ton of money. What they want to do is keep that carrot dangling, like Brandon Marshall. Same type of thing that I was told about him. Keep that carrot dangling. Once you pay him, he owns you. And I don't think they want to be owned.
Vinny, I understand that. But you know what? And I've often said in speeches that I give, fair is a place where they judge pigs. There's no such thing as fairness in the world of business, in corporate America. But at the same time, considering it's the NFL, considering it's a business that generates $9.3 billion annually, projected to generate anywhere from $12 to $18 billion per year over the next decade, You look at the money that the teams have available and what they're willing to pay. If you are scared to give DeSean Jackson some security, then at least send him out on that field for this year with about $5 million.
Well, I agree with that.
I'm trying to say is that I don't care if you have to give it to him one year at a time.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is that you can't ask this kid to go out there and risk, you know, his life and limbs for $650,000.
I agree totally.
His position of getting paid 10 times productive. You can't do that to this kid. That sets a bad precedent as well. I understand that you can't take the risk. I understand that you can look him in the face and say, your off-court issues concern me. We don't trust you, so we're not giving you a long-term deal.
Right.
But if you want to step out on this field this year, we're going to come up with $5 million. To sit there and assign everybody around him, 9, 10 different guys, bringing new guys in, signing guys you had and taking care of them, and don't take care of a guy who is a flat-out game changer.
Yep.
He did the last regular season game you had. I mean, this guy secured the NFC East crown for you with that punt return against the Giants. But that, you can't disrespect him like that and ask him to endanger himself and expect him to go out there and give you 100% when you screw him over like that. You can't do that to that kid.
I totally agree with you, Stephen. I think he deserves to be paid. He deserves something this year because without him, they're a different football team. Without him, they're not the dream team. Without him, they can't advance in the playoffs. Stephen, I got one last question for you because it was a big topic around here down in Maryland. What did you think of the Maryland football uniforms that they wore?
Well, I think other people thought it was hideous and ugly or whatever. I didn't think so. It didn't bother me that much. It was a statement, you know, representing Maryland flag and all of that. I get that. You know, I understand it. It wasn't as nearly as ugly to me as it was to other people. It was a bit jazzy and all of that stuff. And, you know, I liked it. I didn't mind it. It didn't bother me one bit.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. Final thing, Stephen A., I'll finish where I started. Watching you on Labor Day with Skip Bayless, I thought your head was going to explode when he started to say that Kevin Durant was better than LeBron James based on a summer league game. With that in mind, do you think he believes what he's saying all the time?
No, absolutely. I've known Skip for 15 years, and we're friends. We get along great. We get along great off the air and what have you. He's a fantastic guy. But he's a bit different, you know. And if you want to say Forrest Gump different, quote me on that. He's a little different, Mrs. Gump. That remember that scene when
yeah.
they were that's Skip Bayless. He's definitely a bit different. He's a great guy. He's studied. He's on his game. But he believes what he believes. And I gave up on Skip Bayless years ago when he went on national TV on SportsCenter with me and Bob Lee. And he said, quote, I think it should be in the contracts of all professional athletes that they not be allowed to go to nightclubs. I was done with it. I said, the man is gone. Something is wrong with him that he thinks that, you know, he can mandate something like that. Not to even go in the club, fellas. He didn't sit there and talk about not owning a weapon or not drinking or anything like that. You should not be allowed to go in a nightclub. That's what he said on national TV. When something like that comes out of a grown man's mouth, there's no hope for it.
Right, I agree with you.
ESPN Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A., thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Stephen A.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Yep.
Never has a lack of opinions.
No. He's always great.